All for Jalen, once we hit noon, it's two hands.
Good afternoon and welcome to the April 9th, 2026 Waste Management and Radiation Control Board meeting. Can we take roll?
Certainly. I need to announce that this meeting is being recorded. Also, board members and the general public and other UDEQ staff members may be participating either electronically or telephonically. Board members online, we will pin you to the meeting, so please leave your cameras on. I will now proceed with roll call. Brett Mickelson.
Here.
Dennis Riding.
Here.
Dr. Codel. Tim Davis has asked to be excused. Danielle Endres has asked to be excused. Mark France.
Here.
Jeremy Hawk. Absent. Dr. McKiff has asked to be excused. Neil Schwendeman.
Here.
Vern Rogers. Vern is out of town and has asked to be excused, although he may join late. Scott Wardle. Absent. Shane Whitney.
Here.
Chairman Mickelson, we do have a quorum. You can proceed.
Right, thank you. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Okay, seeing none, are there any declaration of conflict of interest by board members? Okay, seeing none, this takes us to the approval of our meeting minutes for our March 12th, 2026 meeting. This is a board action item.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from the March 12th, 2026 board meeting.
Got a motion by Shane. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Dennis. Any conversation on this? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. This takes us to Brent Everett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The asset balance of the Petroleum Storage Tank Fund at the end of March stood at $39,475,423. As you know, we continue to watch that cash balance closely to ensure that we have sufficient funds for those claims that qualify for reimbursement under the program. Happy to take questions on the fund balance, if there are any.
Any questions?
I do have, I want to note some issues that were raised with last month's PSD statistical summary. We're in the migration from an older database to a newer, almost developed database. And there were some issues pointed out with some of the numbers there. We're working to correct those. Most ones for this month's report in your packet have been corrected, but I will note there's showing a negative number of tanks without a COC. I don't think we're quite there. We're good, but we're not that good yet. And we'll make that a goal. And then for orders that were issued in January and February, where it says no data, there were zero orders issued for January and zero in February. So although I do believe we just issued one recently at the end of March or the first part of April. So that should show up in the next statistical summary. But we're going to relook at all of those numbers and make sure that we're providing the best information possible to the board so you have an understanding of the program and the things that we measure. So I'm happy to take questions on that.
Any questions?
Brett, this is Vern Rogers. I appreciate you making those corrections. And Mr. Chairman, I apologize for joining late.
No worries. Thank you for joining, and you look good in a tie.
And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Morgan, did he cover everything you would have covered? Nothing to add to that. All right. Well, thank you. This takes us to item six, Paige.
Is it on? Oh, no. Whoa. Sorry about that. We'll start over. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Paige Walton, and I'm the Hazardous Waste Cleanup Program Manager here at DMRC. On February 12, 2026, the board approved the changes to Utah Administrative Code R315-101, the Cleanup Action and Risk-Based Closure Standards, to be filed with the Office of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah State Bulletin. The proposed changes were published in the March 1st, 2026 issue of the Utah State Bulletin, volume 2026, number 5. I would like to note a minor clerical correction regarding the public comment period. While originally presented to you, the public comment period was supposed to have begun on March 1st. However, the official 30-day public comment period did not begin until 2nd, and it ran through March 31st instead of March 30th. And this was just due to a minor clerical error. No public comments were received on March 1st, nor were any public comments received through the March 2nd through March 31st public comment period. Therefore, because we saw no public comments for the 31 days, we do not see a need to resubmit or require any further action regarding this public comment period. With that, the director recommends the board approve the final adoption of the changes to Utah Administrative Code R315-101 as published in the March 1st, 2026 issue of the Utah State Bulletin, and then be effective on April 16th, 2026. With that, do I have any questions?
Any questions for Paige? Okay, seeing none, as Paige mentioned, this is a board action item. I would accept a motion for approval from the board to proceed with final adoption of the proposed changes to Utah Administrative Code as presented and set an effective date of April 16th, 2026.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion.
Got a motion by Mark. Do I have a second? I've got a second by Dick. Any further comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you.
Okay, Tyler, it looks like low-level radioactive waste.
Hello, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I am Tyler Higberg with the Division of Waste Management and Radiation Control. With me, I bring Steve Gurr with Energy Solutions to present a one-time site-specific treatment variance for the macroencapsulation of lithium and lithium ion batteries.
Thanks for the introduction, Tyler. Energy Solutions requests an exemption for the direct macroencapsulation treatment of lithium and lithium ion batteries. Lithium and lithium ion batteries typically exhibit the hazardous characteristics of ignitability D001 and reactivity D003. And the regulations in UAC R315-26840 require the removal of the characteristic codes prior to disposal. EPA has ruled that intact batteries are considered containers and not considered debris under the definition that would allow them to be macroencapsulated. In order for lithium batteries to meet the definition of debris, they would need to be shredded and mixed with chemicals to deactivate them. And then they could be macroencapsulated. Issues with shredding them severely agitates the waste and exposes the reactive portion of the waste to the open air and could cause an adverse reaction or explosion and would be inappropriate from a safety and health standpoint. Energy Solutions has received approval for the same variance request four times previously in 2021, 22, 23, 24, and then last year in 25. Waste quantities have remained similar over this time period, on average about 800 pounds each year. Energy Solutions anticipates to receive similar waste volumes in the next 12 months under this variance request. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions for these gentlemen?
I do.
Yep.
Any issues in prior years with that, in the microencapsulation?
No, it's been successful every year we've got the variance.
Dennis?
I'd like to ask a question. We heard a lot in the last meeting about fires associated with lithium ion batteries. Do you have that kind of consideration or problem with the management that you have there?
Ever since the variance, we haven't seen that, but I think originally when we first tried shredding them, we'd seen a little bit of, you know, reaction and fire at that point. So, but prior or post variance, we haven't seen any problems with that.
Dick?
I was curious last night, EPA, Glycon, found a couple of reports.
Dick, do you have your mic on?
Okay. Can you hear me? No. Okay.
Yeah.
I found a couple reports from EPA and also from overseas, an EPA in Ireland. They looked like they were just advisory rather than rules, but are you up to date on what the EPA and maybe other government agencies think about burying lithium batteries?
Yeah, part of the research with this, EPA considers them, the batteries, not containers, therefore they can't be macro-encapsulated, but the macro-encapsulation process is, you know, very safe and sound and really keeps them isolated from any kind of reactions. But as far as the additional literature, probably always need to keep up on, you know, what they have posted. And
well, my concern, I've raised this before, was that regulation that you cite from 1993, that was pre-lithium battery. There may have been a few of them, but not the big ones that everyone's dealing with now. And so I thought there might have been something more current.
Yeah.
To do with it.
Yeah, we I'll definitely look into that, but I'm sure they've become a lot more common since back then. So.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Any other questions? Well, I guess, go ahead, Mark.
If I could, I might just make a comment with the popularity of this topic and the issues that we're seeing at municipal solid waste landfills and in hauling operations. And I think it was Neil that brought up in the meeting that proper handling of these batteries really is compiling them and disposing of them properly, as opposed to hiding them in your trash and causing the problems that they're causing. And the way that you're handling them seems to be an appropriate way to actually compile and dispose. And so I say good work on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I guess we'll see you at the next board meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Looks like Jalen's ready as long as she presses her mic button to give an update. There we go.
Thank you, Chairman. I just have one item today. I think we spoke about this a few months ago, but we have three board members that's terms are ending in August. And so I've been asked to let you know that we'll be contacting these individuals regarding your desire to continue to serve on our board and get reappointments. We start that process about 90 days prior to that. So about early May is when you'll hear from Arlene. Just a reminder, all Utah Waste Management and Radiation Control Board positions require Senate and Governor approval. And the three that will be term ending in August are Mark Frank, Dennis Riding, and Dr. Steve McKiff. And that's all I have today.
That was awfully quick. And I don't see Tim online, so I think our executive director's report is going to be brief as well. Any other business under item 10? Brent, do you have anything?
No, but I don't have any business, but just wanted to let you know that Executive Director Davis and I attended the UMTRA 16 million ton celebration, removal of the Atlas tailings to the repository at Crescent Junction today. So that was a huge milestone for the Department of Energy, realizing that there weren't any direct touch points between our division or Waste Management Radiation Control for the majority of that project. However, Waste Management does do an inspection down there, but just thought I'd share with the board that, you know, there's good things going on that have close touch points to what we do here at the board, but I didn't know if everybody was aware of that major project coming to a close. They hope to be done with everything by 2029. And so I just thought I'd mention that.
No, thank you. That's under the radar for a lot of people. It's down in Moab and out of sight, out of mind. So thank you for bringing that up. Jalen, do you have any other business? Arlene? No other business. Okay, it looks like our next board meeting is May 14th. Is that correct? I guess with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn. Motion by Neil, second by?
I'll second it then
by Shane.
With that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much for your time today and look forward to seeing you in May. We're adjourned. Yes, sir.